Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Here says a mostly cloudy night tonight, a low 49, times of clouds and sun tomorrow with a passing shower, a high 66. It's back to The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The Sunbury Motors Studio out of the chateau and into the sunlight today as we are at the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club on a picturesque day. Yes, it's overcast, but you know what? It's as comfortable as you can ask for in the month of May to play in a great golf tournament that has tremendous history. This is the 21st year of the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament benefiting the YMCA, a great charity, and it's so important that all of us are involved in helping the Y out. And Kevin, it is a tournament with great history.
Since 2007 alone, they've now raised approximately $120,000 through this tournament, and of course the Truman H. Purdy was very much into things here in the Susquehanna Valley and into the YMCA and a lot of boards, and helped out a lot. But again, about $120,000 since 2007 has been raised through this tournament, and of course all the sponsors and everything involved in the tournament, as well as the players. And they had a ton of players for the afternoon flight. Matter of fact, the afternoon flight usually has all 18 holes with somebody teeing off and then somebody waiting. Now, the morning flights are usually not as busy, but because Steve was here in the morning flight and everybody wanted to say hi, we actually had a couple of holes that were doubled up in the morning flight. Unfortunately, my play slowed everybody up a little bit, but, you know, everybody got finished in time for lunch today.
Most people were finished in time with lunch based on what you did to the course today.
And I should also thank Greg Velty, the pro here at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, for his assistance today, as well as Bob Snyder for helping us out here on the veranda.
I just can't begin to tell you that when you do a job like mine and you get to go to so many great places across the country, and Kevin, you were up with me in the broadcast booth for the Blue-White game. You know the view that I have up there.
Picturesque is an understatement.
And in the summertime at Medlar Field, Lebrano Park, when I'm broadcasting the State College Spikes, I have Mount Nittany right behind the center field wall. And then you come out here, and you have the ninth hole in front of us, just slightly to my left, with the blue flag just gently flapping in the breeze right now. And then it just drops down into the valley of the golf course itself, and then it's surrounded by the beautiful mountains all around, which we have. I mean, we can see for miles and miles and miles here, and you can't ask for really a better view than what we have. We'd love to have you come out and join us here. We're here for another hour until 5 o'clock. Our number is 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Bill O'Brien and company, more stops on the caravan today, and then tomorrow they're in Hartford, and then up at Gennetti's on Clark Summit for the Greater Scranton Chapter. I'll be a part of that tomorrow night with Bill, Greg Nye, Russ Rose tomorrow night. We're looking forward to that. And I think it's been important that they've done a great job of getting Bill O'Brien out there, and now all of you are seeing what I see in Bill O'Brien every day. It makes it easier for you to be a believer in the true future of Penn State football once you're around him. And it's also been great that they've given the other coaches along the way exposure that they need for their programs. And they've done a great job of coupling that up. So this is week two. There's one more week after that next week, and then that will be it for the caravan.
Is it true that the most popular question on the caravan has been, how many wins do you think you'll have this year?
Probably. Probably. And that's typical. You know, how many going to win this year? Oh, you know what? I think we'll be 9-3 this year. I think we'll lose two.
How many times do you answer the question? Well, you know, I think we're going to be 500. I'm hoping for the best.
I refuse to answer that question. I have refused to answer that question for a long time when I've gone out to speak for a couple reasons. I remember in 2005, Penn State was coming off a 3-9 and a 4-7 season, back-to-back. And so, of course, I get out, and I remember driving to Camp Hill to speak to that group there. And Jack Ham gives me a call, and we're talking on the phone as I'm driving down. This is before they put all the laws in, by the way. So I'm driving in, and he said, Steve, I think we can be pretty good this year. And I said, yeah, I think you're right. I think Penn State can be really good this year. And he said, what do you think? And I said, well, I was thinking maybe 11-1. He says, that's what I was thinking, 11-1. So I go to speak to the Harrisburg group. Now, remember, they were 3-9 and 4-7 in each of the last 2 years. So somebody asked me the question, what do you think? Well, I said, I think they have a chance to be 11-1 this year. And these people looked at me like I should be in the insane asylum, right? What was the record, by the way, in 2005? 11-1. Thank you very much. Okay. But I also discovered that when you were asked that question and you give the answer of 11-1, what is the first question as the follow-up? What's the one? Which one is the one? So I stay away from it from now on, since that point. I have not given predictions on seasons since. And I think it's important when you announce games that you are not the one giving predictions on seasons. That you tell fans that you think it's a 9-3 year. That you tell fans it's a 10-2 year or 11-1 or a 6-6. It's important that you still maintain, even though you're the team's announcer, that journalistic integrity of letting it unfold in front of you game after game. And that's important because you do this job on a game-by-game basis. When you hear coaches, managers, or whomever say that we're going on a game-by-game basis and the media hates it and the fans hate it, except when you're involved in it, it's a reality. I can't, for example, when I'm doing the Ohio University game, I can't sit there and think about the Virginia game. I'm not doing the Virginia game. And that's why they think in those terms. I know Kevin's like 8 Chickalemme games in already, but still.
8, I've got all 10.
I'm not surprised. But that's how you have to approach it. I like his football team a lot. I do. What they showed in the blue-white game was, he has a major league running back in Silas Red. I think Bill Belton, and Red is in a conference that is really deep with really good running backs. Rex Burkhead of Nebraska. Monty Ball, who was a Heisman finalist last year. Silas Red. They have a lot of quality backs in this league. He's among the elite in the Big Ten as a running back. Also, he's been very pleased with how the offensive line progressed because he had heard, quote, stories about the lack of progress of the offensive line. Mac McWhorter has taken over in that part, and Mac is in charge of the entire offensive line. Now, Penn State has done this like other people have done this before, where they had Dick Anderson in charge of guards and centers and Bill Kenny tackles and tight ends. That, I want to tell you, is not an unusual arrangement in college football. It's a way to get 9 coaches involved. But Mac is in charge of the entire offensive line group, and they made a lot of progress during the course of the spring. They're going to have to – now, Adam Gress is a guy – that if you were to tell me 6 months ago, he'd have made the leap that we saw. And if you were to tell me 6 months ago the weight room would be as important to Adam Gress as what we saw in the spring, I'd have told you, I'm not so sure about that. That's not the guy I saw in October or November. It's not the guy I saw. Now you look at him as a left tackle. Good footwork. Now he's blessed with long arms, and you must have arm length to play tackle. You have to. It's a must. A lot of people think you have to be 6'5", but Quinn Barron, for example, could play tackle because he was 6'3", but had the wingspan of somebody 6'6", and that's why he could play tackle. You have to have arm length so you can get the shock at the pads and the extension. You have to have that. Gress has that, but now he has the strength. The strength and conditioning program may have benefited him more than any other player on this team. Now you have Gress. He's there. You have Farrell or possibly Smith. I'll tell you, Smith's not a bad prospect. I like him a lot. Either way, you're going to have depth at the tackle spot, whomever wins it. Urschel has started before. Oh, and Urschel, by the way, another Penn State disgrace story. You're all disappointed. We apologize. He's one of the greatest kids on the face of the earth. That's why I was speaking in Boston on Saturday night, and someone said, what about the beards? He's letting them wear beards. And they're upset. He says, look, he says, I'm old school. And I looked at him, I said, you know who has a beard? John Urschel has a beard. I said, you should get on your knees and wish your kid were John Urschel. I mean, Urschel is a great kid, 4-0 mathematics, and Johnny grew a beard. He had freedom for once. I'm telling you, most of these guys are going to bag the beards once they sit back and go, you know what, I'm sick of this scruffy thing. And I said, they had some freedom, they took it. But Urschel's going to be fine. Miles Diefenbach made a really nice transition from center to guard. And then Stankavich, I thought, had a fabulous spring, and he was rewarded with the Red Worrell Award for best improvement by an offensive player. They had tight ends. Kevin Hapley, who had, a good spring. But then you're looking at outstanding springs by Gary Gilliam, a tight end. Kyle Carter, the first 10 days, didn't do a lot. The last 20 days did a lot. And then there's Jesse James, the true freshman. He's 6'7", 267 pounds, and can move. And he is not one of those kids who came in and needed transition time academically because he's supposed to be a high school senior now. The guy enters college 5 months before his prom. And he is having no academic problems, no issues at all. He had a great spring academically, and this guy can play. I cannot picture Jesse James, unless something happens with him injury-wise, getting a redshirt. I think he plays. Billy wants to play four tight ends. He's got four tight ends.
And, you know, one of the things I liked about him the most, and you could see it in the spring game, the way he comes off the block and sells the block. He sells the block about as well as anybody I have seen play tight end in a long, long time, especially that young. And then he comes out and shows soft hands and is able to catch that 5-6 yard out pattern and turn it upfield and make some difference.
And you'll notice it's an offense that will put them in positions for yards after the catch. As I pointed out in the show several times, Wes Welker was number one in the NFL in yards after the catch. Rob Gronkowski was fourth. Aaron Hernandez was ninth. Yes, they're talented players. Yes, Tom Brady is among the best in the business. But you also have to have an offense that puts you in spots to get the ball and yards after the catch. Bill O'Brien's offense puts them in spots yards after the catch. I want to vehemently disagree with Ed Cunningham on his analysis of Bill O'Brien and calling the plays. First of all, Ed Cunningham has never lit me up as an analyst to begin with. Let's start with that part of it. I mean, he doesn't exactly give me that feeling. I mean, he's one of those basic guys that, you know, Jack Ham gives you a lot of meat and potatoes. All right, Ed Cunningham, for the most part, gives you hot dogs. Okay? All right. He's saying that O'Brien's making a big mistake by calling the plays as a head coach. He is so wrong about this. Right? If you look around your staff and you feel you are the best qualified for a particular job, why are you waving at more women?
Wish they were waving at you.
Well, of course they're beautiful. But if you feel, and you look in your staff, and you feel you're the best qualified for a particular job, maybe you feel, for example, you're Frank Beamer, that you are best qualified to be the special teams coach at Virginia Tech. So he's the special teams coach at Virginia Tech. He runs special teams because he thinks he's the best qualified guy to do it. And they have, for the most part, they've had some ups and downs lately, but for the most part, great special teams. Bill O'Brien has looked at the situation, and he's felt to himself, look, I feel I'm the best play caller we have. So he's going to call the plays because he is the best player caller they have.
He's had a few game experiences.
But Ed Cunningham is out there the other night on ESPN criticizing him, saying, you know what, you have to be a CEO. You have to look over the entire picture. He's wrong about this. He's wrong. Ted Roof's calling the defenses. Bill's calling the offense. They've got it. And if you're around it every single day, instead of sitting in the glass palace looking out and talking about things that you don't know about, If you go to a Penn State practice, I can tell you right now, they have it down. They know what they're doing as a staff. Ted Roof is calling the defenses. You know, Ron's coaching linebackers and personnel. Larry's coaching defensive line and personnel. So if Ted calls for a certain defense, Ron and Larry both have the freedom, along with John Butler, to put the personnel in the game they think that's either fresh or ready for it. But Teddy's calling the defenses. And on offense, Bill's calling the plays. And he knows what he wants to do. And what I like about the way Bill calls plays is he just seems like he already has in his mind where he wants to go next. He calls plays the way guys play chess. You make moves in chess because you're trying to set up other moves. He calls plays because he's trying to set up a game. We'll come back with more in a moment from the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club as we continue. More women waving to Kevin.
I hope so. This is the reason I came for this show.
And to be honest with you, I've just received a note from them. They're not sure why. As we come back, 1-800-795-9565 at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club here on WKOK.
May means warmer weather, the official start of the summer season, and the month that we want to see you in a Kia more than ever at Sunbury Motors Kia.
Want to see you in a Kia.
Looking for more gas mileage for those summer trips? Check out the 2012 Kia Rio LX. It gets 40 mpg and starts at only $15,975. How about the 36 mpg Kia Forte EX starting at $16,960? Sunbury Motors Kia also has the eye-catching, built in the USA, Kia Optima, and it starts at $20,875. Sunbury Motors Kia has Sereno, Souls, Forte Coupes, and Sportages arriving daily. Plus, right now, there's financing as low as 1.9%. Remember, every new Kia comes with a 10-year 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. And Sunbury Motors Kia gives you an extra set of tires. Make May the month that we see you in a Kia. From Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
This is Hollywood, where you can experience the ultimate Eagles tribute band, Seven Bridges, on Saturday, May 19th at 8 p.m. as they perform all your favorite songs, including Heartache Tonight, Desperado, and the 70s mega hit, Hotel California. Seven Bridges at Hollywood Casino, where the stage is set and the whole cast is here. From the crowd-pleasing chefs in the kitchen to the movers and shakers on the dance floor, from the dealers directing the action to the blockbuster winners and breakout stars, here, you've got the lead role, because there's no place like Hollywood Casino. Just minutes from Harrisburg and Hershey, take I-81 to exit 80. Must be 21 or older to enter the casino or attend concert. Gambling problem? Call 1-877-565-2112 for help.
It's been around for 33 years, and it keeps on getting better. It's the 33rd annual Panview Bible Institute's public auction, May 11th and 12th at the Route 15 Flea Market outside Lewisburg. Bid on all kinds of things, including items for sports and outdoors, like chainsaws, weed whackers, outdoor furniture, 5- and 6-inch single and double shepherd hooks, Amish furniture, and outdoor charcoal grills of all types and accessories. They'd also like to send a big thank you to all the fine folks from Rob's Sub Shop for helping make this possible. There will be special times for special items like furniture Friday at 8, guns Friday at 9:30, and riding mowers Saturday at 1. Everything you buy benefits the Pennview Bible Institute and Pennview Christian Academy. It's the 33rd annual Pennview Bible Institute's public auction, May 11th from 3 till midnight and the 12th from 9 till 6 at the Route 15 Flea Market outside Lewisburg. Don't miss out!
What the church is becoming does not depend on our making it so. The Spirit of God is ahead of the church, as it has always been, creating, agitating, opening new space, inviting.
That's the Reverend Penn Peary. Listen to his challenging message, The Holy Spirit is a Pre-Existing Condition, this week on Day One.
Sunday, 6 a.m. on WKOK.
Susquehanna Valley Country Club on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon with a light breeze kicking up and a foursome on the ninth green to our left, all sliding putts by the hole.
We know that feeling.
Well, they're not going to win.
We
all right.
know that feeling,
our
too.
Our number, 1-800-795-9565 is our number. I believe what the scorecard we turned in, the one we turned in was, what, 18, 19 under par? I guess
that was the one we turned in.
I believe the real one's out in the car someplace.
Right. What's that, Drew?
I did not sign either card. I was
you,
not
you didn't sign
in putting
it?
My name on anything.
No, that's probably okay because in a moment for him where he felt like he was autographing something, he put best wishes, Kevin Herr. That's not how you sign a golf card,
wait,
okay?
I have one quick question, though. Is the closest to the line, was that for just the morning flight, or does that include the afternoon flight?
It's all day, buddy.
That's all day?
Yes.
So I got to wait longer?
You've got the entire Purdy family to play through that yet.
There's no chance
and
now.
Got,
I thought it was just the morning.
Yep. You've got every golf playing car dealer in about four valleys here today.
Well,
and some that don't even like have a dealership here.
Listen, Tom Mertz, I saw him go by earlier. I know he's got longest drive. I'm not worried about that. What I was worried about was closest to the line. Listen, can I have a golf cart? I want to run out and check that.
Why don't you run out and check that? I mean, and honestly,
can you handle the show by yourself?
I think I can do this for a little bit while you run out and check, because I know for you, this is your triumphant moment.
This is all I got.
Now,
this is as good as it gets.
He sunk a putt, and he said, "Aren't you guys going to carry me off the green?"
It was a birdie putt.
Look, you weren't playing with three insane people. We all want to live.
Excuse me. How many birdie putts did we have? How many birdie putts did we sink?
Three, four.
And how many did we sink? Two.
Oh, you mean how many we had? How many attempts?
We had like two. We had two or three attempts, and we made two. I made one. Who made the other one? Who cares? That's what I figured. Thank you.
That's because all of us don't need to brag about our moments.
All of us have moments. That is my moment. What's that?
Did anybody notice that the words ME are in team? That was you.
That's right. That was a free. You go, there's no. Just, I said ME in team. Thank you.
Remember I said that? I said there's no I in team, but Kevin, there is an M and an E. I said, and you accentuate both letters.
Thank you very much. I'm all into the individual sports.
I hope you get closest to the line, because that probably is the high water mark for the year.
I'm actually hoping that closest to the line will get you actually golf lessons. That's what I'm hoping for.
I think you get a sleeve of balls. All right.
Well, I could use that too after today's round.
All right. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. But again, I was going back to the point I was making before the break, and that was about the comments of Ed Cunningham when they finally brought up the subject of Penn State football. He was talking about Bill O'Brien calling plays and what an incredible mistake it was. It's an incredible mistake for him not to call the plays. He knows the offense, what he wants to do with it, where he wants to go with it, understands the pattern and rhythm to it. He's been calling plays, even though he was the Patriots offensive coordinator in name for the 2011 season, he's been the offensive coordinator for the Patriots in reality for the last 3 years, right? The last 3 years. I mean, he has been the offensive coordinator calling the Patriots plays. But Bill Belt, that you ever hear Bill tell the story about how he got the job with the Patriots in terms of moving up? He is in charge of quality control in 2007. Quality control, which means essentially he got the best copier in the place to work with and the best laptop. That's quality control in the NFL. He then is driving to the mall with Colleen, and the cell phone rings. It's Belichick. Belichick says, "Hey, Billy, how you doing?" He says, "I'm doing fine." He says, "I'm going to make you receivers coach." He says, "Great." He says, "You start Monday." "Okay." That was how he moved up. When he then, the next year, he became quarterback coach and coordinator, same thing, they're driving to the Burlington Mall. He says, "This is Bill. Yeah, I'm not going to tell everybody you're the coordinator, but we'll make you quarterback's coach even though you're the coordinator. We'll see how it works out. You start Monday." "Okay." Big time extensive office interview.
News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Number 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. To the phone lines we go. Jack in Sunbury, thanks so much for your patience. Welcome to the show.
Steve, I sort of feel for you with about Kevin. I know when he announces basketball, he really gets excited. Is he that way when he plays golf, too?
Basketball's exciting.
Well,
I did not get excited on the birdie.
Okay, all righty.
Jack, I always worry about playing golf with anybody who uses the Happy Gilmore golf my way.
Keep an eye on him. Well, the other thing I called for, Steve, you know, you mentioned something a bit ago that I've been saying for some time, and I don't think too many people agree with me about Tom Brady. If Tom Brady didn't have the line that he has, he would not have the recognition that he gets. I've seen him at times when the defense got to his linemen, they can get to him. You know what I'm talking about.
Jack, you're absolutely right. That's why when Matt White made the decision to retire this week from the Patriots, Brady called him repeatedly trying to convince him not to retire because he would be the first person to agree with you that those guys up front have meant everything to him because he has had moments where he can scan and find those gaps in the field that Bill O'Brien had wanted him to find, and it's because he had the protection up front. And that's why the retirement of Matt White was significant to the Patriots and to Tom Brady and why he was trying to stop it.
Exactly right. I've been saying that for some time, and I even heard that during the week between games, he takes his linemen out for lunch. And I don't know if it's true or not, but I had heard a rumor one time.
Well, that's a smart thing to do. That's a smart thing to do. Let's face it. I mean, Roger, Drew, and I have been hoping that Kevin understood that and took us to lunch once in a while.
Nope.
And then, you know, all of a sudden a moth flies out of his wallet, and we realize nothing's happening there. But, a good running back takes their linemen and does something for them. A good quarterback does the same thing. Brett Favre was great with his offensive linemen all the time.
Yep.
You can't do anything in football unless those five guys up front either open up alleyways for the running back or protect the quarterback and give you time to make plays. And quarterbacks and running backs, they realize that Brady is also smart enough to know it.
Right. I know when I'm at a football game, I usually watch the linemen and see what they're up to. Yeah, I know there's times a quarterback gets away, but if it wouldn't be for those linemen doing their blocking, he wouldn't be where he's at. So that's all I wanted to say, and thanks a lot. Take care, you guys.
Jack, it's great to hear from you. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. A wind is kicked up, and now the possibility that Kevin's closest to the line.
It's getting better.
No, I don't think so.
It's blowing backward. It's blowing from front to back, so it'll be behind the drive right now on the particular hole, which I believe was 7.
Well, the bothersome part to me is that the line began at a certain point, and your drive was only a foot down the line.
Doesn't matter where it starts. It matters where it finishes.
You're the only guy I've ever played a round of golf with where it was closest to the line, and we didn't use his drive. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, and that's, I think, Matt McWhorter is going to be, down the road, one of the true keys to what Penn State does as an offensive line coach. Now, defensively, Penn State's going to be in good shape up front. They're going to be in good shape with Jordan Hill, Jason Terry, but the move of Kyle Boblitz from outside to inside, that is not a true outside-to-inside move that people have portrayed it to be. He played both defensive end and defensive tackle during the course of the spring, played both spots. So he gives them depth at both spots, and one of the reasons they flipped him inside is that they needed somebody to pair up with Jason Terry on the second group, and because of the progress of Deion Barnes at defensive end, along with C.J. Olanian to back up Stanley and Massaro, that now gives them that 8-man rotation they were looking for. And at linebacker, you have Carson in the middle. Yancic is going to be behind him. Look for Hodges, who played weak side linebacker last year, but in the spring was flipped to strong side linebacker. I wouldn't doubt that stays, because then it will keep Maudy, coming off a knee injury, at a weak side linebacking spot and less traffic to make plays. And I think it will be important for Mike to have less traffic around him as he works his way back from a knee injury. Now, Mike looked great in the drills I watched him run on the AstroTurf field that Craig Fitzgerald put him through. He looked great, and I know his knee is structurally sound, and June 1st was actually the target date for him to actually absorb contact again. He won't have to absorb contact for two more months after that, because in his injury, all he tore was the ACL. He did no MCL and no PCL damage. None. That's why his surgery was only 1 week after the injury instead of the customary 3 weeks, which accelerated his healing process. In the process, though, they developed some depth at those outside spots, and I like that. Now, the secondary is going to be an interesting story because they were banged up all spring in the secondary. Banged up all spring. And when you look at the secondary, Stephen Obeng Archibong, who played in the blue-white game, and I was surprised by it, he had banged his shoulder up in the spring and had missed actually the last few practices before the blue-white game. Malcolm Willis has played. He started 9 games in 2010. He was the nickelback last year. I thought he had a really good spring, looked good. Stephon Morris did not have just a good spring. Stephon Morris had a great spring at that corner spot, and this defense and what John Butler wants to do in the secondary and what Ted Roof wants to do with his corners completely suits how Stephon Morris wants to play. Now what do you want to do at the other safety spot or at that corner? They have to make a decision on Adrian Amos at this point. Amos, I thought, was a good, solid freshman corner last year. Big for a corner, 6'1", oh, about 205 pounds, good-sized corner. But when he came back, they had so many injuries at the safety spot because Ryan Kaiser from Sealands Grove got hurt. Kaiser tore his meniscus, out 4 to 6 months with that, which, by the way, has a domino effect on Penn State's special teams because Ryan's the holder. Now they have to make a decision on holder. Matt McGloin was doing most of it the last 10 days, but they started to work Shane McGregor into that mix as a holder, and we'll at least consider that. But Jacob Fagnano had a really good spring. Jesse Della Valle got off to a very slow start in the spring to the point where the quarterbacks knew where Jesse Della Valle was at all points. And then, as the spring went, Della Valle got better and better, and then he started turning the tables and making plays. And if you notice, he had an interception and a 35-yard return in the blue-white game. That means they have to make a decision because Curtis Drake's there. And Curtis Drake adapted very well to playing that corner for Penn State. He adapted very well. Now you have to decide, what do you want to do with an Adrian Amos? Keep him at safety or put him back at corner? And I think it's going to depend on how the injury situation plays out in the secondary as to what decision they make there.
Steve, let me ask you a question about this, about the special teams. And I know a lot of the fans that watched or was at the Big Ten or were at the, not the Big Ten, but the blue-white game, they were amazed at how well the kick returners were doing. Now, a lot of that I think you have to take with a grain of salt because of the fact that they really weren't, it really wasn't a full return. They did break open in some open space, but is that mainly because the kickoff team didn't cover the same way they would if it was a true live football game?
Yeah, the kickoff team was just supposed to run lanes, and then that it was not supposed to be a contact play. But Bill O'Brien worked more on special teams than any spring I have seen at Penn State since I've been attending practices. I saw more special teams work in the spring. Why? Because Bill O'Brien thinks they can swing two or three games this year with special teams, whether it's with field position, helping out the defense, or putting the offense in a position to score.
Steve, Doug from Wellsboro on the line to chat with you.
Doug from Wellsboro. Hello, Doug. How are you today? Great to hear from you, my friend.
Steve, how are you?
Doing great, Doug.
Hey, I want to talk quarterbacks. Do we have the quarterbacks on the roster that are equipped to run Bill O'Brien's system? Is McGloin up to it? Paul Jones, or is it there? Do they have the wherewithal to run the system that he wants to put in place ultimately?
They do have what it takes to run the system because if you the one thing that they need to do is, number one, they have to understand where all 21 chess pieces happen to be on the field. Then the next part is they have to make sure that when they set up in the offense that they are in the right formation and their parts are in the right place. And then there's a lot of pitch and catch in this offense, Doug. And if you're accurate with the football, you can be extremely effective in this offense because there is a lot of pitch and catch. And if you're accurate and lead them in the yards after the catch, you can get a lot of big plays because Bill O'Brien uses all 160 feet, the width of the field.
Is there any chance that Hackenberg or Bench comes in and gets any time at all, or is it all going to be McGloin?
Well, the only one that's coming in is Steven Bench. The other one is a verbal commitment that would not sign until February. And, of course, I can't talk about any player that's going to sign in February specifically because it's an NCAA violation. But Bench is coming in. Steven, in fact, did show up at a spring practice around him. I've seen a little bit of him on tape. I think he has a good arm. I think he has decent footwork. He actually runs very well. Actually, he's a very good runner. He's out of Cairo, Georgia. And he can come in. Now, can he compete? That's an interesting question, Doug, because this is an intricate offense. And the three guys that you referenced, Matt McGloin, Paul Jones, Rob Bolden, all have had a 15-practice head start on him. And they've also had bookwork as a head start on him. So Steven is going to have to make up for time. And it's difficult to make up for time at this stage. Is it out of the realm of possibility? No. But it's still an uphill climb because the other guys are ahead of him in terms of understanding what Coach O'Brien wants and what he doesn't want.
And Doug, Steve and I have talked about this a few times too. I really like the way Jones was running the offense in the blue-white game. He makes some really exciting plays. A lot of it, though, a lot of his passes, if you looked at it, were off the back foot, but he was still putting them on there with some zip. If he gets himself technically sound and ends up staying in the pocket and getting comfortable there, I think he could be a very interesting quarterback for Penn State.
Well, thanks for taking my call, Steve. It's great to hear you on the radio.
Hey, Doug, it's great to hear from you as well. Tell everybody in Wellsboro we said hi. All right, our number 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Well, let's see. There's only one ball on the green here. I guess you'll have to use that one there.
that's the best part of a scramble. You take the one that looks the best.
I know that's how you've lived. That's been your scramble, bread and butter, for years.
That's my scramble.
I mean, somebody asked me, how did you get the ball to the line? Right? I said, I had to finally admit it was a hand wedge.
Not a hand wedge. It was a driver that did curved just nicely, a little bit of a slice down, lands about
a little bit of a slice.
Lands 2 feet away. It was nice and smooth. It looked good. It was a pretty shot, left to right play with a little bit of a breeze behind.
Yeah, thank you, Peter Alice. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. I know it's hard to putt while somebody's doing a talk show in the background. All right. Penn State football, we've been talking a lot about that this hour. And we'll come back and close it out with the Steve Jones Show, Kevin Herr in tow.
May means warmer weather, the official start of the summer season, and the month that we want to see you in a Kia more than ever at Sunbury Motors Kia.
We want to see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Looking for more gas mileage for those summer trips? Check out the 2012 Kia Rio LX. It gets 40 mpg and starts at only $15,975. How about the 36 mpg Kia Forte EX starting at $16,960? Sunbury Motors Kia also has the eye-catching built-in the USA Kia Optima, and it starts at $20,875. Sunbury Motors Kia has Sereno, Souls, Forte Coupes, and Sportages arriving daily. Plus, right now, there's financing as low as 1.9%. Remember, every new Kia comes with a 10-year 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, and Sunbury Motors Kia gives you an extra set of tires. Make May the month that we see you in a Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
You don't have to leave the Susquehanna River Valley to have an unbelievable vacation this summer. This is Andrew Miller from the Susquehanna River Valley Visitors Bureau, here to tell you about Backyard Tourism Week. Today and each day this week, we'll host an open house at our visitor center in Lewisburg. On Thursday from 9:30 to 1, Alexis Campbell of the Ned Smith Center for Nature and Art will share information about the center's programs and activities. Sign up to win a free gift from the Ned Smith Center. From 11 to 1, the Red Robin mascot will be on hand to distribute bird bucks to visitors. From 1 to 5, the Merrill W. Lynn Land and Waterway Conservancy will be on hand to discuss local hiking trails in the area. You can also register to win a variety of gifts from places like Knoebels Amusement Resort, Colonial Candle Crafters, Blue Heron Sports, Red Robin, and Star Hollow Candle Company. We look forward to seeing you during Backyard Tourism Week, May 7th through the 11th, at our Visitor Center, located at Route 15 and Hafer Road, 2 miles north of downtown Lewisburg. Let us be your resource for the perfect staycation this summer. For more info, go to visitcentralpa.org.
Hey, it's me again, Mike Rowe, here at a Ford dealer with Fiona, talking tires. Fiona here was just telling me that about every 5 seconds, Ford dealers sell a tire. How's that possible?
Well, Mike, Ford purchases about 3 million tires a year.
Seems like a lot of tires.
We have a lot of tires, 11 major brands.
This is exciting. I'm keeping track as we go. And you just sold one right now.
We also have what's called a low price tire guarantee.
How's that work?
We'll beat anybody's advertised price guaranteed.
And you just did.
That's correct.
There goes another one. You're not going to run out, are you?
Absolutely not.
Promise?
I promise.
There goes another one again.
Right now, buy 4 tires and get a $100 rebate at your Ford dealer. Name brands include Goodyear, Continental, Pirelli, Hankook, Dunlop, and Yokohama tires. That's $100.
Every 5 seconds, wait for it, and boom, it just happened. You sold one right now. This is very exciting. I could do this all day.
Me too.
Feel like we have.
Competitors ad required for tire guarantee. $100 rebate can't be combined with other tire manufacturer rebate or offer. See participating Ford dealer. Visit BoardOwner.com for rebate details through 5/31/12.
In today's digital world, you can't afford to be lagging behind on all the latest details. Hi, Kim Komando here. Join me for the Kim Komando Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, and you'll be in the know about everything digital. I'm here every Saturday from 10 till 1. It's just me, you, and the newest digital details every weekend. Be part of the largest nationally syndicated weekend show, the Kim Komando Show, Saturdays from 10 till 1, right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Well, unfortunately, a tragedy to talk about in sports today, at least in our profession. A man that I actually heard a lot of on Saturday, Carl Bean. In fact, I would have heard his next to last game. Carl Bean was the public address announcer at Fenway Park for many years. He died in a car crash today in Massachusetts at the age of 59. The Red Sox had had... for many years, the Yankees always had Bob Shepard, the great Bob Shepard, who was still the public address announcer at Yankee Stadium at the age of 99. And the Red Sox had their own legendary public address announcer, a man named Sherm Feller. And Sherm Feller always just did the basics, had a deep baritone voice. And then after Sherm Feller retired, they brought in a couple of other people, including a woman at one point, Leslie Cambridge. And it was okay. And then Carl Bean came along. And Carl Bean had the same tone as Sherm Feller and became a beloved figure because he reminded so many of Sherm Feller in his own way. Just 59, I would have heard his next to last game at Fenway Park on Saturday as the public address announcer. And he passed away today after a car crash at the age of 59.
Still looking for a few more details on that, but it looks like it was a single car accident earlier today.
Wow.
Also some baseball from this afternoon. In the bottom of the fourth, San Diego leads Colorado 2-1. Toronto 2, Oakland nothing. That is in the bottom of the fourth inning. And a couple of finals from this afternoon. Cincinnati 2, Milwaukee 1. Atlanta losing to the Cubbies 1-0.
All right. And Phillies and Mets tonight. And
Pirates, fingers.
Pirates and Nationals tonight after the Pirates' dramatic win last night. A.J. Burnett bounced back after giving up 12 runs in a game at St. Louis, the worst start of his career, to come back with one of the better starts of his career, career-high 10 strikeouts, but he wasn't the winning pitcher. because it turned out that the Nationals scored a couple of runs off Joel Hanrahan in the ninth inning, and then Rod Barajas got it back with a two-run walk-off homer, and the Pirates won 5-4.
And that was his first of the season, if I recall correctly.
Yes,
so a big time. What a nice way to get the first of the season, a walk-off.
Yeah.
And that game in Pittsburgh last night, caught a little bit of it, and matter of fact, caught the top of the ninth inning when everything started to unravel there. Very similar to what happened with the Phillies. And the Phillies are in a situation right now, we talked about it earlier, they're in a must-win with this Mets series, or they're going to find themselves in trouble because the Marlins are starting to play some good ball now.
Marlins went through that winning streak on the West Coast, and that righted the Miami ship. They're playing a lot better now. So it's a highly competitive division, which doesn't bode well for the Phillies. Right now, that's too many teams to pass at this stage. They have to get Utley and Howard back, as I mentioned earlier, and I think then they have to make some decisions by the 4th of July as to where they are in the standings. Having the additional wild card entry does enter into some of the decision making.
But here's the big issue, I think, in Philadelphia. We talked about it for many times. We talked about it today. Was the bridge to Papelbon, middle inning relief, that sort of thing. You know, when you get the sixth, seventh, maybe even the eighth inning for the Phillies, they send down Schwimmer, who may be a little bit early for him to come up anyway because Lee is now reactivated. That's one less guy that is in that middle inning relief situation. Is there? Do you think maybe the organization and maybe Charlie Manuel is thinking about what you were talking about earlier in the show today about moving Kendrick to middle inning relief?
I think they have to. I think they have to put him in that spot, and I think they have to then make a decision about what to do with Vance Worley as either a starter or a guy that's in middle relief. I think they have to make those decisions if Roy Oswalt is re-signed. That's if he's re-signed. You know, a lot of talk that the Cardinals were taking a long look at him. The Cardinals are having such a great year. They may not.
By the way, what's Pujols' watch going right now?
Well, he has the home run.
He had the home run, but you would thought if he gets one, maybe that would spark
things.
Yeah, it would
spark him, but they're so far out of it right now. And look at Texas. I mean, Baltimore goes into New York, takes two out of three, goes into Boston, sweeps three, goes home, and the Rangers throttle them at Camden Yards two straight nights. And Josh Hamilton, who, by the way, did play three games at Medler Field, Lebronto Park when he was with the Hudson Valley Renegades, hit four home runs last night to tie the Major League record. He drove in eight last night, and not only that, now here's a guy last night at 18 total bases. He was 5 for 5 last night with four home runs and a double, and he has 14 home runs in the season. And the Rangers are playing great. Getting Adrian Beltre solidified their lineup, gave them another bat, gave them more Hamilton protection in the lineup. Kinsler's a heck of a player. They still have Young. And Yu Darvish, to his credit, has at least come through with initial reviews of being excellent.
Initial reviews of
excellent. Well, again, everything's about adjustments.
Right.
Okay? Right now, the hitters are trying to adjust to Yu Darvish. They will. Eventually, hitters will adjust to Yu Darvish. It will then be up to Yu Darvish as to how he adjusts to what they're now doing. And if he's able to do that, he'll be a successful long-term pitcher in the majors. Because in baseball, it's all about adjustments. That's why you see pitchers get off to hot starts, and then you say, boy, why was he only a one-year wonder? Why was he only a half-season wonder? Or a hitter? Why was that hitter only a one-year wonder or a half-year wonder? Because in this game, they figure you out. And when they figure you out, you then have the ability to adjust to them. And when you adjust to them and you have the ability to make that adjustment here and there, and as a pitcher they make the adjustment here and there, you end up with long-term success.
Well, a big thank you to the folks here at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, Greg Feldy, the pro, as well as Bob Snyder for giving us the veranda to use this afternoon, and, of course, the Purdy folks, too, for putting on a great tournament here with the YMCA in Milton and in Sunbury. And, Steve, thanks for so much for joining us today.
It's a record field today from what we understand.
Yes.
And tremendous. The Susquehanna Valley Country Club, a tremendous host, a great layout that we thoroughly enjoyed playing today. And it's an important part. The reason we're here today, Kevin and I are here today, Drew here today, is because being a part of the community is critical, because we feel we can do certain things that other entities can't do to promote and thus bring more dollars in to important charitable organizations such as the YMCA.
Big show coming up tomorrow, Steve. Looking forward to it. Coquise, Patrick, Kale, and company.